introduction for the privilege of being here. Brother A.G., thank you for the opportunity to come and do here what God has asked me to do for Southern Baptists across this nation. Actually, what I'm in the business of doing is asking that we prayerfully consider God's call to a commitment at a very new level in our lives. I've noted that when revival comes, new commitments are present. I guess best understood, commitment is both the fruit of revival and the requirement of revival. My purpose this morning is to talk to you about living a special kind of life called the giving life. Jesus is the model for what I speak, and both the model and teacher. In Mark chapter 10, there is the discussion taking place between disciples and the master, in which the request is made, "Master, grant to us that one of us will sit on your right-hand side and the other on your left." This resulted in controversy. The disciples joined in, rebuking the two for their seemingly selfish request. And this gave way to a lesson from the master. The master talked about greatness. He described the human understanding of greatness that is attached to title, that's attached to positions of rank in government. And he said, "You tend to look to these persons as great." This, he said, however, is not the way it shall be in the kingdom of God. Rather, he said, greatness is measured by service. He said, "The great ones among you will be your servants. And the greatest person among you will be that person who serves the greatest." Then the teacher became testifier. He gave his own witness. "The Son of Man," he said, "came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." Two words rise up in the testimony. The Son of Man came to live serving, and to live giving. And suddenly there erupts upon our understandings the call for how to live. We are called by both words and example from the Master to live the giving life. Now, much of our problem centers in the fact that we attempt to ask people to do giving without having at the same time asked them to learn to be givers and live giving. People who are givers don't have much trouble giving. People who aren't givers have an awfully hard time with it. And our trouble as leaders is that we have majored only on the getting people to do giving and have lost the spiritual call to be a giver, as is the life of the Master. Now, my job today is to call upon Baptists to be givers at a new level of response. Let me just pause for a moment to give you an updating. I was asked, have been asked, to champion something called Planned Growth in Giving, which is a call for commitment to enable the great vision called Bold Mission Thrust to happen among us. I started out with lots of questions. What might Baptists do? Let me tell you my two criteria as to whether it will succeed or not. I'm happy to report on progress with criteria one. That was, if leadership, denominational leadership, are willing to place their lives out on the line first, give themselves and make their own commitments first, there is a great chance it will happen. Stage one, which is that, is near completion. In the next 2 or 3 weeks, the leadership will have been involved. And I can tell you that the broad spectrum of Southern Baptist State Convention leadership have responded in a beautiful way and have done exactly what is needed. They have first said, we will make personal commitments before we go ask the people to make commitments. Now I want to share with you my second criteria. Whether this happens or not will now probably be the judge or the deciding point in whether this great call for Baptist response, unparalleled in all our history, whether it happens or not. It's simply this. When leadership in the church, primarily pastors, but the pastor and the church selected chairman, when and if those persons stand before that congregation and say, God's dealt with me, I have made my commitment, and then openly testify what that commitment is, and then say to the people, will you join? It will happen. Where that doesn't take place, it will not happen. And where that kind of leadership happens, I don't think all hell can stop it. We're dealing with a call for commitment, and the commitment centers in the asking people to live the giving life. Living the giving life is what Jesus modeled and asked us to practice. Learning to give is not easy. Learning to be a giver is very difficult. And the reason this is true is that that is going in how to live directly or diametrically different to that of the world. Learning giving in a getting world is tough. But you see, we live in a world that values getting, that measures success in terms of giving and measures blessings in terms of accumulation. And in the midst of that value system, the Lord is asking us to be something totally different, and that is givers. Scripture does not say there is no place for giving. I'm sorry, getting. But does set life not in the terms of one's getting, but does set life in the terms of giving. Learning giving in a getting world is our task. Everything about us values what one accumulates. And yet it is in the midst of a getting, accumulating, grasping, greedy world that we're called upon to learn the uniqueness of the Christian life, which is giving. Learning to be a giver and learning to live giving is the task, the challenge, and the call that is before us. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 4 through 6 are exciting words to read. I invite you particularly to study them sometime in the Good News Bible. It talks about the folly of what he calls chasing the wind. Referring to grasping with getting desire greedily with both hands. And he says it's like trying to grab the wind. What we have done so much of in our churches and what we do so much of in our lives is what I like to call sanctifying the chasing of the wind. We want to be greedy graspers and ask God to bless it and wonder why it doesn't work. We want to sanctify in our churches the graspy greediness of the world as if that is being spiritual, simply because we give token amounts of it to the Lord. I'm not here to censor earning money. That's not my mission. There is a place for that. But life, you see, is not that. Life is giving. That's how one lives the Christian life. What is giving? The definition is quite simple. Giving is the living of the Christian life. Not one way that life is lived, but the way that life is lived. Giving is the living of the Christian life. Please hear me. Giving is a way of life learned from God. Learned from God in and through Jesus Christ, the giver. God is a giver, Jesus Christ is a giver, and those who are like God are givers. It involves me giving me to God. It involves me giving mine to God, and that's being a giver. Three things I'd like to say to you about living the giving life. First of all, it is normal. Giving is normal. The non-giver is the sick Christian. The giver is the normal, natural Christian. For you see, the synonym of being Christian is being a giver. It is in fact saying the same thing. Giving is what the Christian is. It is as natural for the Christian to be giving in life as it is for the body to breathe. You understand what happens when one ceases to breathe? And that's precisely what happens to the Christian that is not a giver. Have you ever heard someone described as being a gracious Christian but never did learn giving? You know, that's kind of like describing, I heard a woman described that way once, and I thought, that's like saying, doesn't she make a beautiful corpse? You see, the non-giver is dead. For giving for the Christian is the breath of that Christian life. It is the expression of that Christian life. It's the completely normal act. We need to learn more about God at this point. I guess one of the great travesties of many of our ministries is that we have portrayed God as something God is not. We have made God look like the great tax collector. We have warned people that God will get it if you don't give it to him. If you don't give it, he's the great collector, he'll take it away from you anyway. We have made God sound like the graspy person who's trying to get something we ought to have for ourselves. God is neither graspy, greedy. God is not a collector, and God is not needy. The scripture tells us God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills and declares that the silver and gold is mine. What does God then need in my life that causes him to ask me to be a giver? Above all else, God looks at me and wants me to be like him. God wants to see himself reflected in my life. And if I am to be a reflection of God in my life, is to demonstrate that God-likeness, it will demonstrate it in the living of the giving life. God's a hilarious giver. God's a gracious giver. God is a generous giver who enjoys giving. And what God wants most of me is to see that kind of God-likeness demonstrated in my life. For me to be called upon by my pastor in behalf of my Lord to be a giver is not an imposition upon me. It is not an attempt to impose something upon me that should not be asked. It is not the attempt to take away from me something that was meant of God to be kept by me, but rather it is the call of the very intent of God to ask me to be something God has intended all the time that I will be. Giving is the normal expression of the Christian life. Second, giving reveals character. You see, I am like I give. Giving, my giving is me. I may not like that, but that's true. My giving is me. I give like me. Well, I may go to church Sunday, and my pastor is one of those very able persons who is quite able in his challenges. He might slip up on my unexpecting side this Sunday, and I would make a commitment all unlike me for that one time. But next Sunday, I'll be on guard, and he won't catch me. You see, week in, week out, month in and month out, I give like me. Now, when I am asked, join me in visitation, and I say I would like to, I'm too busy, that is not so much a calendar problem as it is a value problem for me. You see, if I'm unwilling to give me, that's a reflection of me. When I am asked to give and I say I can't, I am broke. That is not so much an economic expression as it is a value expression. I am describing where my values are. I am describing something about me. For you see, I give like I am. I suspect that may be the best insight as to why Jesus gave such lavish praise for the widow. You remember as he watched and the givers came by and the widow put her small monetary gift and it brought forth lavish praise. Jesus had seen large monetary gifts given and he certainly was wise enough to know the economic difference in the gifts, but he just extolled the woman in such lavish phrases and said of her, she, they gave out of their abundance, but she gave all she had. And I sensed in this Jesus was saying she did what she was. She gave like the person that she was. She gave because that's who she was. Whether I like it or not, my giving tells you who and what I am, just as it does for all your people. People who are too busy to give themselves in testimony about Jesus to a lost person says something very sad about themselves. Persons too selfish to give their resources for the propagation of the gospel say something very tragic about themselves. And parenthetically, it says something very tragic about the pastor's failure to nurture and develop them and the church's failure to nurture and develop them in the Christian life. The third thing that I want to say to you about giving is that it is always measured by my commitment. My giving is a clear demonstration of my commitment. That's true of the hours I place in service. That's true of the resources I place at the disposal of my church in the cause of Christ. When I can go to church on the Lord's Day and I place an offering in that offering plate, and I did it with little thought and with no inconvenience, it was an unworthy gift. I don't care what its dollar amount was. A worthy gift for me is a gift. A worthy gift for you is a gift that in order to make it required a deepest kind of commitment. Whether that's me giving me or me giving my dollars. My gift is always measured by the depth of the commitment that I make. Boyd Pierce, a missionary in Kenya, East Africa, made a statement a few years ago, and I've always remembered it because it haunts me. Describing the Christian life, he said, in most of our lives, there's a line we have drawn. Up to that line where we have drawn, we're willing to go, giving our hours, giving our money, giving ourselves, but never do we cross that line. It may look for a moment that we're even having a flare of the sacrificial, providing it never passes that line. He says that's the line that consciously or unconsciously we have drawn in our lives beyond which our commitment will not take us. I guess I'm aware in these days that what I'm in the business of being is a prophet asking us for us to move that line to a new level. To allow God to claim our lives at a new dimension. To allow living, the giving life, to expand to a new horizon. My giving is measured by my commitment in the depth of commitment it required to make it. But it's also measured by how it has shown a pilgrimage in my life. The beauty of giving being a way of living is that it's always a growing process. If I look at me and I measure me now and measure me a year ago and I'm static, I've gone nowhere, I'm just like I was, something sick in me. See, giving is never static. I never give enough of me to be satisfied. I never give enough of my money to be satisfied if I'm Christian about it. I always, never is there an exception, I always must be looking for a way to grow because that's the nature of the living of the Christian life. Also, my giving is measured by that to which I give. The worthiness of the gift. I just don't give to anything. There are lots of good things in the world. There are much that is not good, but there are many good things in the world. And I guess for me, the constant challenge is the measuring of the worth of that to which I give. I'm busy. Like you're busy. I have to measure the worth where I give my time. There are calls almost to the point of being frightening in the numbers that ask for the money. I have to value where I give. And for those of us who love Jesus Christ, the center point of priorities centers in what He asks us to do as His witness in this world. And I measure the worthiness of the giving of me and the worthiness of the giving of my resources over against the marching mandate of the Lord when He said, "You shall witness of me," and He named the world and made me responsible for it. If I'm simply asked to do giving, I have trouble. If I'm asked to be a giver, I learn growth. My prayer is that we'll understand better what Jesus was saying when He said, "Even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to live serving, giving." And I, as His echo, ask that you with me prayerfully consider the living of the giving life. God bless you.